This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Hi everyone, I'm Terry Friedlander. I'm a professor of medicine and medical oncologist here at UCSF. Sorry I can't be there at the conference today, I'm traveling, but I want to talk to you about optimizing bone health for men with prostate cancer. So this is the agenda for the talk. We're going to talk about normal bone health, terminology, how prostate cancer affects the bones, and what we can do to keep bones healthy. When we talk about bone health, I think it's important to acknowledge the bone has two major functions. One is structural support. Peak bone mass goes up until we're about 30, and then we start to lose bone mass over time. This is true for men and women. The second function of the bone marrow is to produce immune cells, red blood cells, white blood cells, really the entire immune system. And most of this bone marrow is concentrated in the large bones, in the femurs, in the pelvis, and in the ribs. And that's important with prostate cancer because prostate cancer tends to go to these areas of the bone and can affect not only the structure of the bone, but also the ability to make some of these cells. And typically that's a problem further down the road in more advanced disease. Now, when we look at the bone under the microscope, it's actually alive. There are a number of cells inside the bone that help remodel the bone. We have osteoblasts that help create new bone. We have osteoclasts that actually remodel the bone. So they tear out bone that's unnecessary, and they help to sort of model the bone to respond appropriately to stress. And then we have osteocytes, which are buried inside the bone and have a role in regulating these other cells. Now, over time, healthy bone will lose calcium, it will lose minerals. And the first step when we talk about that is we call it osteopenia, and that's mild bone loss. And you can see that in the middle of the picture. The problem is that bone is more susceptible to fractures and other problems. And if that continues, we end up with osteoporosis, which is where there's a severe loss of bone mineral density. And this is a big problem because people with osteoporosis have a much higher risk of fracture, including severe ones in the spine or in the pelvis. So what causes this bone loss? Well, there's actually a number of risks. A number of factors that can cause this. Substance use like tobacco and alcohol, lack of exercise is a major one. Diets that are low in calcium and low in vitamin D, these are really the building blocks of the bones. Family history, as well as a number of medical causes. And I think perhaps the most important one there is testosterone or estrogen lowering therapy. These cause bone minerals to leach out of the bone. And so any man who's on hormone therapy is at risk of developing osteopenia or osteoporosis. Now, scientifically or biochemically, there's a lot going on that's regulating the bones. And you can see a number of different pathways that are involved here. And these are actually interacting with prostate cancer cells themselves that can cause in certain areas of the bone to become thinner, certain areas to actually become thicker, but not necessarily structurally sound. And they're all at play at once. Perhaps the most important of these pathways is the Rank-Rank ligand pathway, and this is targeted by some of our drugs like denosumab as well as bisphosphonates, and we can act on that, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit. So osteoporosis is bad. I think most people know this because of risk for fractures. A fracture in the hip or the spine can be really serious. A lot of pain and debilitation could require surgery, prolonged recovery, so we really want to avoid this. This is a good example of what a spinal fracture looks like. We call this a wedge fracture. As you can see in the middle of the screen, the vertebrae should be rectangular, and it's now just been crunched. And this can cause pain, also, you know, leaning over and challenges in walking and mobility. So it's a really bad thing when it happens. Just some numbers about fractures. So for a man who's 50 years old, he has about a 25% chance of developing a fracture at a later point in his life. That goes up with age. Separately, screening for osteoporosis, unfortunately, is rarely done in the U.S. We do it regularly here, but I think it's important to talk with your doctor about that, especially if you're on hormone therapy. And actually, of men who get a fracture, a lot of them never get the appropriate treatment or get treatment to prevent further fractures, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. So really, there's a big need for better education here. Someone who has a hip fracture is in trouble. So 40% of patients are unable to walk independently without a cane or a walker. 60% still require assistance a year later. I think perhaps the most concerning feature of a hip fracture is the mortality risk. Up to a quarter of patients who get a hip fracture will die within the first year. And that's because they get laid out in bed, they get weak, they lose muscle, they lose bone, they're more at risk for infections, for cardiac complications, recovery is hard. So preventing the fracture is really the name of the game here, because we can do a prevent a lot of other bad downstream effects. So this is a good example of what prostate cancer unfortunately does to the bones. This is a very advanced prostate cancer CT scan. And what you can see here is the cancer is essentially eroded through the bone. It's just eaten through the bones. So there's a lot of turnover here. The healing bone that happens, the bone that's laid down, is not very strong structurally. It's not like the bone you were born with. And so even if the cancer is well controlled, if the damage has been done to the bones, the risk is higher for fracture. And as I mentioned earlier, most of the bone marrow is in the pelvis, for example. So you can imagine that the blood counts may drop because the marrow is not able to do its job as well. That can limit our ability to give chemotherapy and other treatments. So as I've mentioned, low testosterone increases the fracture risk. So do other treatments we use in prostate cancer, like external beam radiation therapy, chemotherapy, our radioligand therapies, and then poor nutrition. So I think it's important to think about these, how these affect the bones if you're getting those therapies. Now, we do measure bone density. We usually do this in men without bone metastases. The bone metastases cause trouble with the interpretation of a DEXA scan. This is the type of scan we do to measure bone health. It's basically a series of x-rays, generates this T-score. The T-score is what matters. And the lower the T-score is, the worse. So the T-score is less than negative 2.5 are called osteoporosis. If the T-score is negative 1 or higher, it's actually considered normal. There's a calculator that I use frequently called the FRAX calculator. You can access this at the website below. You can enter in your personal data as well as your medical history, and it can tell you what your risk of developing a fracture is over the next 10 years. And this is useful if we're thinking about using medicines to help reduce the fracture risk. So the FRAX score really tells us who to treat. So basically, we treat anybody who's had a prior hip fracture or vertebral fracture should be on an advanced bone targeting agent. Anybody who has osteoporosis confirmed on a DEXA scan should be on one of these agents as well. And then patients who have osteopenia, so not as bad on the scan, but a high FRAX risk, and you can see the numbers listed here, those patients should be getting a bone-directed therapy as well, like denosumab or zoledronic acid. And everybody who's getting hormone therapy should be on calcium and vitamin D, as we're going to talk about in a sec. So, you know, there are a lot of things we can do to help modify the risk. And the first is to monitor vitamin D levels, make sure we're vitamin D replete. Most people in California, or at least in the Bay Area, are not vitamin D replete because we don't get enough sunlight. Getting a DEXA scan if appropriate, doing the FRAX calculation. I recommend at least 1,000 milligrams or 1,200 milligrams of calcium, as well as 400 to 800 units of vitamin D daily. You can get some of this from your food. You can look at the nutrition facts on the label of what you're eating. But, you know, dairy is high in calcium and vitamin D. Nuts, salmon, lentils, leafy greens. Protein's really important for healthy muscles as well. And then I think avoiding tobacco, avoiding alcohol, and perhaps the most important thing we can do is weight bearing. We know that astronauts who go to space lose muscle mass by just floating in space. They have to do exercises, and so do we, and especially men with prostate cancer who are on hormone therapy. The weight bearing is good for your muscles, it's good for your bones, and I think it's just good for your overall health. So I recommend you see a trainer, go to the gym, really try and maximize that if possible. We've done a number of studies here led by Stacy Kenfield, Aaron Van Blarigan, and June Chan, looking at the role of exercise in men with prostate cancer, and there's clearly a benefit. And you can look at these papers, you can look these up to see the full data sets here. But I think this is really important to think about diet and exercise. The therapies, as I mentioned, we have a few different therapies. The two most commonly used are zoledronic acid. This is an IV infusion, lasts about 15 minutes, given every 4 weeks. It's approved for both osteoporosis and castration-resistant prostate cancer. And then denosumab, similar, except it's an injection every 4 weeks. It may have a slight benefit compared to zoledronic acid in terms of preventing bone loss, maybe a little stronger. All men need to see the dentist before they get these medicines because they can interfere with the teeth and cause an ulcer in the jaw called osteonecrosis of the jaw, which can be pretty bad. So we recommend everybody see a dentist if they're going to start these agents. And then calcium and vitamin D for all men on hormone therapy. So just wrapping up, I think monitoring is really important. If there are no known bony metastases, we get a DEXA scan. If there are bony metastases, we usually follow men with calcium and vitamin D and add these agents when the cancer becomes castration resistant. Follow the vitamin D levels is really important. Diet, weight-bearing exercise. For my patients who are sitting in the audience, I ask you guys about this almost every visit. And I think it's really important to keep in mind that this can be really helpful. And then obviously stay on the supplements and think about using these more advanced agents like denosumab or zoledronic acid if the disease is more advanced or the bone health is worse. So hopefully that was helpful. Hopefully you learned something today. Sorry I can't be there, but thanks for listening. Have a great rest of the meeting.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.